punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, you thought it was windy yesterday. Wait till this afternoon. 58 degrees. Dew point is 14. Humidity 17%. The winds are out of the north-northwest at 30 miles an hour, gusting to 43 miles an hour. We are under a high wind warning until 7 o'clock tonight. Fire weather warning until 8 o'clock tonight. And they've prolonged the fire weather watch until tomorrow night. It was supposed to be over tonight, but as of 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Central Daylight Time, the fire watch has been extended. So, and I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. I seen Mr. Monty Tucker on Facebook yesterday asking about talking about the dew point. The dew point was in a negative yesterday, -7. I mean, honestly, I've never paid that much attention to it, but I've never seen that in Western Oklahoma. But according to Lacey, I talked to her a little bit last night. She said Western Oklahoma, Texas, and Oklahoma panhandles, we're just in desert conditions right now. That's all she could say. Some wind gusts around the state right now. Looks like 49 is the highest up in Hooker. There is, according to Marty Logan with Channel 9, there's a fire just popped up around Fort Supply, or between Fort Supply and Buffalo, somewhere up in there. So wishful, just wish the firemen safety up there. Everything's good. And so 41 miles an hour, Eric, 42 in Cheyenne, 43 miles an hour in Elk City, 39 miles an hour at Hobart, 37 down in Hollis. It looks like the panhandle and the from Beckham County and Washtenaw County up is where we get into the 40s, but the whole state is windy. It's all 30s and 40s across the whole state, and we have a few more minutes of this to go. But anyway, let's check some grain prices. The crude oil's down. It's down to 94 West Texas oil, isn't that's good. But we got live cattle for April. It's up 138.25. Live cattle for June, 134.95. August, 136.42. October, 143.32. Feeder cattle for April is down 157.02. May is up slightly, 160.47. Lean hogs are up slightly also. April, 98.95. May, 109.40. And June, 115.05. And cotton's basically unchanged at $1.36 a pound. And that's what we got there. And let me get over here to this other screen real quick, and I'll give you the cash grain prices for Oklahoma's for an hour ago. Hard red winter wheat, $10.12. Corn, $7.68. Man, it's getting up there. Milo, $7.36. And soybeans coming in at $15.59. Well, in my adventures around Beckham County and Greer County yesterday, I seen some stuff that don't look too good. I seen some wheat and some rye out there that's already putting its flag leaf on, and it's not a foot tall. So that's not good. So we'll see what comes with the weather and the rain here shortly. Well, soybean futures are higher in overnight trading. Cooking oil demand may increase amid disruptions to sunflower seed oil supplies coming out of Ukraine as Russia's attacks on the country continue. Buyers who can't get sunflower seed oil may seek an alternate such as palm and soybean oil. Russia's attacks on Ukraine have not relented, And Ukraine is asking NATO countries for more weapons as the conflict enters its 43rd day. And I just give a shout out to Ukraine. They're doing pretty good. I know they're getting bombed and things getting disrupted, but they're holding. You know, that Russia thought this would be over in about a week. So the World Health Organization said it's making plans for different situations that may arise, including mass casualty events and chemical attacks. Ukraine also is sinking more sanctions on Russia, but Russian officials insist the sanctions will not work. On the weather front, moisture stress likely will hurt late soybean filling in Argentina, but land a hard with early bean and corn harvests, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Rains in the next 2 weeks likely will benefit southern corn-growing areas of Brazil, but declining precipitation in northern regions could lead to spotty stress. Russia is the world's largest exporter of wheat, while Ukraine is now forecast to be the fourth largest, according to the USDA. Soybean futures for May delivery rose 3.25 cents to 16.22¾ cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal fell 40 cents to 461.40 a short ton, while soybean oil futures jumped 0.33 cents to 72.16 cents a pound. Corn futures fell 2.5 cents to $7.54.5 a bushel. Wheat for May delivery dropped 1.5 cents to $10.36¾ a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 3¾ cents to $10.81¼ a bushel. Well, ethanol output dropped to its lowest level in 5 weeks, and inventories declined in 7 days that ended on April 1st, according to the EIA, which is the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel fell to 1.003 million barrels a day on average, according to the EIA. That's down from 1.036 million barrels a week earlier and the lowest since the week ended on February 25th. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output was at average 946,000 barrels a day, and that's down from 982,000 barrels a day. Ethanol inventories fell to 25.903 million barrels in the 7 days through April 1st. That's down from 26.529 million barrels a week earlier and marks the lowest level since March 4th, according to the EIA. Dry, windy weather continues in the central United States and also in the southern plains. That's us. Dry, windy continues in much of the central USA today as a red flag and high wind warnings remain in effect, according to the National Weather Service. In central Kansas, winds will be sustained from 30 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 45. And that's also is in Oklahoma. The relative humidity will fall as low as 23%. In Oklahoma and Texas, winds will gust up to 60 miles an hour today, while the humidity is forecast to drop as low as 10%. In northwestern Iowa, meanwhile, advisories are in effect until late tonight as winds will be sustained from 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Well, I'm going to tell you something I tried yesterday afternoon. I have two side roads over there across the river from the house, so I needed to move one of them. So I needed to get it moved and turn the water off because I'd already put enough water on that one area. So I went over there, my side rows straight north and south, and I was moving it from east to west. Cranked her up, started slow rolling it. I was watching it down there on that northeast because I'm on the top of a hill. And it started rolling, and I watched the very north end. As you guys understand, side rows, there's 12 to 13 wheels, or 14 wheels actually, on each end. And there was on this side row, and I was watching, and the north, very north end that has two wheels on that joint of pipe, and then the next one goes to single wheels per joint. Those three wheels picked up about 5 foot in the air as I was rolling it. I shut her down, went to the house, had me a cold beer, and watered my tomato plants in the shop. that was just crazy. So anyway, that pipe's it, if somebody said, well, was it full of water? Well, you can't move a side road with it when it has water in it. So, no, it didn't have water in it. I'll give you a quick update on the fire situation up north in Beaver when we come back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before, and your gears change, and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
59 degrees, humidity's 15, the dew point is 11. I'm watching the dew point. I'm going to be Nathan Burr. I'm going to watch the new dew point today. Monty Tucker's got me hooked on the dew point again for some reason. But anyway, northwest winds at 35 miles an hour. Wind gusts are 46 miles an hour. And we are under a high wind warning till 7 o'clock tonight, a fire weather warning till 8 o'clock tonight, and fire weather watch until 7 o'clock tomorrow night. All right, let's get to it. As of right now, at Beaver, it fired back up again yesterday. According to the Oklahoma Forestry Department, with their email this morning, 24,537 acres have burned, and it's 15% contained. I know that's probably been updated since 9 o'clock this morning, but that's how much is burnt in the Beaver County fire. Also, I just got a text message from my undercover agent at Pack Saddle Bar. They are on their way northwest of Fort Supply to another big fire, so I'm taking it part of the Roger Mills Task Force is headed that way since he's a member of the Crawford Fire Department. Anyway, they got a big fire up there, and according to what I seen on social media earlier with Marty from Channel 9, it was huge. Anyway, so, man, just everybody be careful out there today. Keep your eyes open. There's already been one fire started south of Sayre, but they got it contained pretty quick. And some of these fires are accidental, and some of these people are setting on purpose. So keep your eye out, and don't take the law into your own hand. So there we got on the fire update. All I can tell you is I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this segment here is to inform you what's going on with some of our local fire departments. And everybody asks why this is an ag program. Pretty much the biggest part of volunteer fire departments in rural Oklahoma are farmers and ranchers and are people that work in the ag industry. And not all, but some of them are, but the most part of them are. And so I'm going to help them out as much as I can. And coming up, the Raiden Fire Department is having a team roping and a fish fry April 16th. That's about 9 days away. And it's at 1 o'clock for roping. Enter at 1 o'clock. Start roping at 2 o'clock. And this will be at Raiden, 4 miles north and a mile and a half west. From Raiden, this is where it's going to be at, 4 miles north and a mile and a half west. So saddle the horses up, get the ropes loosened up, practice up, and get up there. It's just pretty easy to do, to go up there and have some fun and have a fish fry. And a fish fry will be following the roping. Canute, Friday, May the 6th. It's not that far off. It's less than a month away. They're Canute annual fish fry for the fire department. This fire department depends totally and a lot on what they get make from this fish fry. So help them out. And that's a great fish fry over there. If you've never been to the Canute fish fry, it is awesome. So anyway, check it out. Visai, they're in Visai. They're going to be come up there to enjoy a fish fry, calf fry, hush puppies, coleslaw, potato salad, homemade desserts. Donations are appreciated. If you're unable to attend, you can contribute by mail to the Visai Rural Fire Department, P.O. Box 183, Visai, Oklahoma, 73859. And that is April 16th, also same day as the roping at Raiden, but it's at 5 to 7. So you can hook onto the horse trailer, go rope at Raiden, eat a couple pieces of fish fry or fish, and then truck right on over to Visai. It's not that far out of the way, and go eat some calf fries. See, you can eat fish at Raiden and calf fries at Visai. And you can also stop at the Pack Saddle Bar, my favorite place in the world, and grab a cold one and some of their fried taters to warm up for the calf fries at Visai. See, pretty easy problem solved. Have some fun and go from there. Also, I want to mention tomorrow at the, let me get to it. There it is. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., the Roger Mills County FSA producer meeting at 10 a.m. at the Roger Mills Ag Pavilion. They're on the west side of Cheyenne, headed out towards Raiden. Easy to find, north side of the road. Cross the bridge, you went too far, or if you wasn't paying attention to the bridge and you went around the curb by Russell Calvert's, you went way too far. So turn back around and head back towards the Ag Pavilion. And the topics will include wildfire programs, drought programs, conservation programs, and loan programs. Get it all done in one meeting. Any questions you'll have, they'll be glad to answer. Get with Mandy, and you guys will be good to go. So anyway, they encourage all Roger Mills County producers to attend this. So one other thing. The other day I was talking about some drought relief, the Livestock Protection Program from 2021. That was last year. We got one payment last year, and just this week they're issuing the second payment if it hadn't already been put in there. And this is for all FSA offices, not just Beckham County, but FSA offices. It might be next week. It doesn't matter. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to call in to the FSA office. It's already taken care of. They're going off of what happened last year. And then the new one for this year, they're working on it. And I promise you, they will either call you or send you an email letting you know what they need from you. So you don't have to call and take some of their time up right now. It's coming. They'll take care of you, promise you. Also, there was a conversation the other day where these donations are coming from that was all taken from all over the country to the Durham Fire. The FSA did not do this. The FSA has their programs where they help producers with lost cattle, lost fences, but all these hay donations, cake donations, money donations for fuel, or just money donation and helping people out, that was donated by everybody in the country. Local farmers, local ranchers, local bankers, just local people, period. So anyway, that had nothing to do with the government. That was all done on individual status where, you know, just like us, we took that convoy up there, but Brandon's already hauled a couple loads up there this week. We got some more cake to go. We got some more hay to go. We're not done with helping those people. So anyway, we love you guys up there, and you guys love us, I know, or as of right now. But I did talk to Val Caster last night. So you people at Durham, he's coming by sometime this week or next week, and I'm going to present him with the present that you guys and the statement you told me to make to him. So he's either coming by here or we're going to see him somewhere out here. And that present that John, not Roger, gave me, I'm going to assure you that he's going to get it. So anyway, well, when we get back, let's talk some cattle. Let's talk what's going on in our local area and abroad. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 4th. 478 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 385 brought 212. 3 at 453 brought 205. 5 at 515 brought 188. 6 at 757 brought 146. 65 at 798 brought 165. Head of heifers at 474 brought 174. At 591 brought 147. 15 at 632 brought 159.50. 4 at 676 brought 149. 10 at 706 brought 143. Butcher cows were 39 to 90. Butcher bulls brought 101 to 121. Bred cows were 1025 to 14. 25 Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, during break, I guess you guys know the Masters are underway, so I got to the guest computer turned around so I can see how Tiger and the rest of the crews are doing. So it looks like they're having fun. Man, it's a beautiful country in Georgia. Currently 59 degrees, northwest winds 33 miles an hour, wind gust up to 46, the humidity 16, and the dew point's 13. So, Mr. Tucker, I don't think the dew point's going to get negative before my show's over today, so I hate to tell you that. But also, I failed to mention last segment, keep praying for the two firemen from Balco that were injured and burned in the fire fighting the Beaver County fire, and just keep your prayers. Pray for all of them. It's a mess today. It was a mess yesterday, but seen on social media last night that one of them come visit the other one. One's bedridden and are stricken, however you want to say that. Anyway, he's in there. It looks like slight burns to one of them's face, but it looks like the arms of both of those firemen were burnt pretty bad. So anyway, keep prayers and going for them, and might get on Balco's fire department's webpage or Facebook page, and if you got few dollars hanging around, they got a GoFundMe account going, and they can probably need it because they're missing work. That's what a lot of people don't realize, that, you know, in our area around here, we're lucky that we got Elk City in Clinton as a full-time fire department, but the rest of them are all volunteer in the listening area, as far as I know. And I might be wrong. If somebody knows, I don't know if Hobart's fire department is full-time or not, but anyway, a lot of guys take off from work to go fight fires, gone 1-2 days, like the Durham fire. They miss work, and they need to make it up, but they also, equipment's going to getting used. It's been a crazy season. There ain't been one of those Ray fires, but that Durham fire and the one at Beaver, 30,000-40,000 acres is a huge fire. So anyway, but it takes time, takes fuel, takes money, and everything's volunteered. And I know in Beckham County they got the tax going where they give each one of the fire departments, but still, these trucks are being used. Tires, there's no telling what those tires cost for those new trucks. So you get a chance, give them some money. All right, where do we want to start? Let's start with certified Angus beef premiums reach $182 million. And the Packers paid more than $3 million a week to cattlemen who meet the certified Angus beef premiums. But anyway, I want to go over this a little bit. Is there enough high-quality beef? The market doesn't seem to think so. A biannual survey of the four largest packers showed a dramatic increase in market rewards for certified Angus beef. That's CAB brand. Annual grid, formula, and contract premiums paid on CAB carcasses last year totaled $182 million, and that's up from $92 million in 2019, which was a record at the time. That's $3.4 million a week going to producers that hit the CAB target. Recent years of once-in-a-lifetime events spur a high volume of certified carcasses and increased box beefs that helped drive CAB premiums to nearly double those paid in 2019. That signals very strong demand, says CAB Director Paul Descastre. Let's see if I got that right. He is in charge. He's the Director of the Supply Management and Analyst for CAB. So I'm just going to give you an overview of how the Packers have been paying more grid dollars they pay. They call it the CAB brand grid dollars. Starting in 1998, when this program was basically started, there was probably $3 or $4 million paid out. In 2000, it went up over $20 million. And then it peaked at 2002 at almost $40 million. And then it kind of declined a little bit, but the lowest it got was back down to $20 million. And then bam, 2012, we all remember that. That was a drought and almost nationwide, but the most severe part was Western Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma Panhandle, and New Mexico, and up into Kansas and Colorado. 2012, it reached $60 million, and then it dropped back down to $58 and $14. And then since 2015, it's been steadily climbing. In 2019, it was almost 90-something million dollars paid out premiums. Last year, $182 million. That's a lot of bonuses for people who raise certified Angus beef. And I've had him on the show before, and he's talked about it. And matter of fact, all the people that come on the show that is raising registered Angus, they talk about this. That's what Jimmy Taylor, he has registered bulls, but commercial cows, but he breeds them to meet those certifications, and he does it, and he adds more to his bottom line. So that goes on with some more people in our listening area. I don't have all hour to name them off, but it's a great thing if you can get involved. If you want to add more to your bottom line, I'm going to say if you get in there and you qualify for all the certified Angus beef premiums, you could add $300 a head more onto your beef if you follow your beef all the way to the feedlot. That's what that's about. So, well, what else do we got to talk about here? There we go. right here. It just goes hand in hand what's going on around Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle. British Columbia Cattlemen's Association, that's in Canada, is leading a pilot program to help stop wildfires. A hand of ranchers are going to be grazing cattle in concentrated areas near homes and community infrastructures where the cattle will eat the grasses that dry over the summer and cause wildfire risk. It's kind of coincidence, but the other night when I was attended the Roger Mills Chiefs Fire Chiefs meeting up there in Cheyenne, the Forestry Department guys were there offering a program. Don't remember exactly. I wasn't taking notes. I was enjoying my hamburger and drinking my water. But anyway, talking about programs where fire departments can sign up through the Forestry Department to get around these cities and start cutting some brush down and cleaning stuff up in case there is a major wildfire, like the other day at Durham when the city of Durham had to be evacuated, that they can contain the fire when it gets close to the city. So this is what these guys are doing here in just kind of a little different way. The ideals is to have is by having the cattle eat the dry grass, the new green growth will help stop the wildfires because it won't burn. The pilot program will move cattle around different parts of these towns. It's in British Columbia. The British Columbia government contributed $500,000 in 2019 to help launch this pilot program. Targeting grazing is not the solution to all fuel management challenges, but the province said in a statement at that time, but it's a very powerful tool when used in combination with other methods such as prescribed burning and selective tree harvesting. And that's exactly what the Oklahoma Forestry Department guy was sort of roundabout describing the other night. So, anyway, that's one thing going on in Canada. All right. Hey, you guys remember that guy I had on here from K-State last year, Professor Travis O'Quinn, and said he was working on a deal about consumers continuing to have interest in buying local beef. Well, bam, it come out in the email today. So he's going to come on the show here in a couple of weeks, but he's got another project going that he wanted to finish. But Kansas State University researchers are looking more closely at the dynamics of marketing beef directly to consumers in the hope that they can help farmers capitalize on Americans' ever-increasing interest in locally produced foods. In an initial survey of 198 consumers and 66 beef producers, they found that the COVID pandemic greatly increased consumers' interest in purchasing farm-raised beef directly from the farm. Meanwhile, he said Kansas, but you know what we're doing here in Texas and Oklahoma. Meanwhile, 61% of the beef producers surveyed said their business to consumer marketing, known as B2C, increased in 2020 and 2021. Beef producers looked around and see the price of beef in the grocery store, and they see the price they're getting for live animals, says K-State researcher and farm management economist Craig. I'm not even going to pronounce that. Why keep people have good name, common names, and I'm just going to call him Craig Smith. And they said the margin between the two prices has expanded quite a bit, and it has. I know the numbers. It's a lot. Producers are thinking they got to be a way I can earn some of that margin back for myself by selling direct to consumers. They can, but in doing so, they're going to have to take on a lot more roles than the packers and retailers are doing. But there's potential for more profit from producers through direct marketing. Travis O'Quinn, a meat scientist, that's the gentleman that was on my show last week, in the K-State Department of Animal Sciences and Industry, says consumers have a desire to establish a relationship with local producer and buy local products. Dang right they do. Coupled with the availability of beef in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, the motivation has spawned this market of consumers saying that they are looking to purchase beef from a local producer and go straight to the freezer with it, O'Quinn says. But the two researchers says there are gaps in the information available to the producer and to the consumer that may be preventing some from selling and buying locally. We are trying to find out what the disconnects there are along with the whole process. For producers, there are issues about how profitable direct marketing really is. I think there is a perception that direct marketing is profitable, but when you're not doing detailed enterprise analysis and counting, it's hard to say that direct marketing is more profitable. For consumers buying local beef, which often means buying a live animal and paying for the meat to be processed, there are misperceptions about what they are actually buying. And this is a true statement. It's hard to get through people's head that you buy 1,500-pound beef, you're not getting 1,500 pounds of meat. I'm sorry. That's just not the way it works. There are a lot of surprises for the first-time consumers that go through this channel, Quinn said. For example, there are only two briskets on every beef carcass. Another is that when you purchase a 1,200-pound beef animal, he read my mind. I should have just read this instead of staying my own statement here. A lot of consumers think they're going to get 1,200 pounds of beef, and that's certainly not the way it is. Those are the kind of facts that come as a surprise to consumers. The K-State research is funded by the USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture, and this work is done to date is on online publications. If you can get on K-State Department of Agriculture Economics, and you can read the whole report that they did, because I read the short version of it. So before I go to break, I'm going to do a little explanation for you. Anybody that's selling beef out there to the consumer, any of our producers selling out there, they have a chart for you so you can see what you're going to get. Generally, you got a 1,500-pound beef, you're going to get 60, somewhere between 55 and 60% hang weight. All right, now it's hanging in the freezer. Now, when they go to cut it up, now you're going to get somewhere between 55 and 65% of that weight. So you can do your own math. It's basically a little more than half of what an original live weight is. Just do the math on it. So it's easy to do, because I know people show up and they come out with, they buy a quarter of beef and they come out with a box and a sack. Where's the rest? Well, there's a lot of bone. There's a lot of intestines. There's a big old head on them cows. So it adds up. So now you know what us producers got to go through. We have to produce this calf to weigh 1,500 pounds, and you're only going to get 700 or 800 pounds of meat out of it. That's just the way it is. And that depends on whether you go bone in or bone out. And that's what we discussed last week. When I come back, if you're watching on Facebook or on our webpage, I got one of my favorite hats on, Hobart Farm and Garden, orange. I'm matching today, honey. If you're looking on the Facebook, I look colorful. I got orange on, and it's burnt orange. So I got an Oklahoma State hat on and a Texas vest on, and I'm not saying that proudly with the either one of them, because you know me, I'm a boomer sooner. And how about those OU softball girls last night? Run ruled again. They're looking good. Great job, ladies. They just look unbeatable. Somebody might beat them, but I'm telling you, they look strong. So anyway, be right back. We'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up right after this.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Red Angus offer superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. the ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, speaking of Benji and Lori White, Lori, hope surgery went well. She had surgery, I think, the day before yesterday, sometime this week. Anyway, hope your recovery is pleasant and you're feeling better, and sending prayers out that you heal in a nice way. So best wishes, Lori. We got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Let me get it re-updated. I was kind of busy watching the Masters. 61 degrees. Hugh, dew points creeping down. 11. It's still not going to get to minus 7, Monty Tucker. Humidity's at 14. Wind is in, out of the north, northwest, 30 miles an hour. Wind gusts 40 miles an hour. We are under a high wind warning till 7 o'clock tonight. Fire weather warning till 8 o'clock tonight. And a fire weather watch until 7 p.m. tomorrow night. So be careful out there, everybody. If you see smoke somewhere, please go check it out and get a hold of the proper authorities to come put it out, because it will travel hard and fast today. Today, windy, 64 degrees, northwest winds, 40 to 43 miles an hour, with gusts up to 60 miles an hour here in just a couple hours. You're just getting the start of it right now, everybody. I'm sorry, but you are. Tonight, breezy, 36 for a low, 14 to 30 mile an hour wind with gusts up to 40 miles an hour tonight. Be a great night for the scramble at Sayre. It's his first Thursday night scramble, so get your, don't wear the big hat out there tonight. Tomorrow, breezy, northwest winds, 14 to 23 miles an hour with gusts up to 40. Tomorrow night, the winds start calming down, and then after midnight, it switches out of the south. Yeah, it's about time. I'm tired of the north wind. I'm just tired of it. 36 tomorrow night. Be careful, you tomato plant people. Just be careful if you got too eager and set your tomatoes out. Get ready to cover them. I'll give you a piece of advice. If you got a friend that's a farmer or rancher and they got a bunch of these protein tubs, empty protein tubs, go get you some and put them over it and put two dumps of dirt right on top of it, and it won't go nowhere. With this, I'd wait till the wind calms down a little bit, but anyway, it works. Matter of fact, I think mine growed better under those tubs than it did out in the air. Saturday, 82 degrees, winds out of the south, 6 with gusts up to 22, not a bad looking day. Saturday night, 58 degrees, Sunday, 87 degrees, Monday, 82 degrees, so we're getting back. It's still warm for April. So anyway, we got that going on. So you guys be careful out there today. And this wind, it's going to be high. It's going to be high. It's going to be high. I'm trying to get to. Oh, guess what? I've talked about it a couple times on the shows this week, but that bird flu that's going around the United States, it showed up in Texas, according to the Texas A&M. AgriLife Extension, they have found some in quail in a commercial production operation in Gonzales, Texas. The game birds from the commercial operation in that county was tested and confirmed and be the first reported case of the bad influenza. It's bad. The bird flu's bad. It's getting bad, people, and everybody needs to, and I talk about it because there's a lot of people raise chickens around here, and the little guy is just as vulnerable as the big guy. But keep looking, we'll call it biosecurity. Just keep an eye on your whether your turkeys, ducks, chickens, the whole nine yards. This form of the flu has not jumped from birds to human yet, according to the AgriLife Extension down there at College Station. It is a disease that becomes very obvious in birds very quickly, And see, so we need people, they're saying, with birds to report incidents when they have a lot of birds getting sick or declining or dying very rapidly. We need to know about it around here. So if you get it, don't be bashful. Call the Oklahoma Agriculture Department, has the wildlife deal in there to take care of it. Get a hold of your Oklahoma Agriculture Department, and they will take care of it. Somebody will take care of it and let you know. But he said commercial poultry producers are very well versed in biosecurity, but should be extremely vigilant at this time. Texas backyard and Oklahoma producers should also be practicing higher levels of biosecurity and limiting their flock's exposure to wild birds. Backyard producers should be mindful in any of the situation that increases the risk of exposure, such as food and water sources that can be accessed by both wild birds and poultry flocks or bird feeders or bass near their flock. Any sudden increases in the number of sick birds needs to be reported immediately. As of right now, 23 million commercial and backyard poultry birds in 24 states have been impacted by the ongoing outbreak. Major outbreaks in the U.S. poultry flocks include turkeys, egg layers, broiler facilities, led to the loss of more than 50 million production birds in 2015. Archer said he did not recall any in Texas commercial poultry operations being impacted by the 2015 outbreak, but they've got it now. They found it in a commercial quail breeding deal. So anyway, it's there. It's in Texas, and it's in Oklahoma now that duck they found up there north of Oklahoma City has it. But Texas has been actively preparing alongside the USDA to respond to the disease. We'd like to encourage Texas poultry owners to educate themselves on this disease and be vigilant in taking steps to protect their flocks from this flu. There was a deal in here that showed me Anyway, if you guys come, any of your chickens, no matter what, please don't be bashful. You're not going to get in trouble if you got it. And nobody's going to publish your name on the news if you've got anything. You can call, looks like in Texas, you can call the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Facility at any of them to let them know. They'll get you in contact. And then in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Agriculture Department out of Oklahoma City. If you'll get on their website, they have a hotline for that right there. So anyway, enough about the flu. Well, let's see what's going on in our local area. Well, it kind of involves our local area. Well, manure, poop, it's a hot commodity right now. But for nearly two decades, this guy that's writing this article has used every marketing tool he can think to sell the back end of a cow. Poop, after all, needs to go somewhere. And I remember talking to Brandon Hickey down here at the sale barn that he couldn't give this stuff away. But this year, it's a whole different ball game. I mean, you think about it, I don't know how often he cleans the sale barn out down here at Elk City, but the last time he cleaned it out, I think January or end of February or December during the Christmas break, they got like 27, 28 semi-loads of poop out of there. So anyway, this Midwestern entrepreneur has worked hard to woo farmers on its benefits for their crops. And I know a gentleman over there north of Canute put some down out of the Deal feedlot here a couple of years ago, and it was amazing what happened with this crop. But now we're facing a global shortage of commercial fertilizers made worse by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. More U.S. growers are knocking on his door. He says they're clamoring to get their hands on some old McDonald would swear by old-fashioned animal manure. I wish we had more to sell, he said. He's the founder of the Natural Fertilizer Services. It's a nutrient management firm based in the United States, right there in Iowa. But there's not enough to meet the demand. Some livestock and dairy farmers, include those who previously paid to have their animals' waste removed, have found a fertile side business selling it to grain growers. Equipment firms that make manure-spreading equipment, known as honey wagons, are also benefiting. Not only are more U.S. farmers hunting manure supplies for this spring planting season, some cattle feeders that sell waste are sold out through the end of the year, according to an industry consultant named Mr. Allen. Manure is absolutely a hot commodity, said him. He works for the Nebraska-based Nutrient Advisors. We got waiting lists for poop. Sky-high prices for industrial fertilizer are projected to reduce American farmers' corn and wheat plantings this spring. Problem is, around here, we need some rain. Don't care about the manure right now, but we need some rain. That further threatens global food supplies as domestic wheat inventories are their lowest in 14 years, and the Russian-Ukraine war is disrupting grain shipments from those key suppliers. While manure can replace some of the nutrient shortfall, it is no supply to swap out all the commercial fertilizer used in the United States. Can't make that swap. There's not that much manure in the United States to take the place of commercial fertilizer. Transporting it is expensive, and prices for animal waste, too, are rising on strong demand. It's also highly regulated by state and federal authorities, in part due to concerns about the impacts on water system. Manure can cause serious problems if it contaminates nearby streams, lakes, and groundwater, says Chris Jones, a research engineer and water quality expert at the University of Iowa. Livestock farmer says it's too heavy to lift to meet all the government rules and track how manure is applied. Regardless of the drawback, the demand is booming. In Wisconsin, three dairy farmers told Rutgers they turned down requests to buy their manure sent via text and Twitter messages. But nobody asked on Facebook. Wonder why. North Carolina-based Pennite, which makes manure drying systems, says it's fielding selections from growers as far away as Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana. Industrial fertilizers such as nitrogen require a lot of energy to produce. Prices started to surge last year, and rising demand and lower supplies, record natural gas and coal prices triggered output cuts by fertilizers manufacturers. Extreme weather and COVID-19 outbreaks also roiled global supply chains. Now we got the war in Ukraine that's doing that. So, anyways, got to find out some kind of ways to do it. But until we get some rain, there ain't much we can do here. So, anyway, we got it going on. United States has got it going on. And I feel for our farmers and ranchers, especially in the southern plains right now, because we got this drought going on. Some people are lucky and got some rain, but not on some other people's. And we get some green grass going so this wildfire stuff will go away. Prayers out to guys fighting the fires up north. And if you firefighters that are listening, you go out on a fire today, be careful and try not to be a hero. You're already heroes. You don't need to be a bigger hero. So be careful out there and pray for the two firemen from Balco, Oklahoma, that are in the hospital in Lubbock, Texas. So anyway, it's been a great show. Talk to you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.